reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, the first 14 verses. Ephesians, chapter 1, the first 14 verses. Okay. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers in Christ Jesus. May God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and he gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us to those who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose is that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he had promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. So today we're going to start a series out of Ephesians. Now, Ephesians, as I was researching, is almost a little controversial in some circles. And so I want to kind of address this very quickly because I don't want you to go home one day and turn on the History Channel or the Hysterical Channel and hear this from them, not hear it from me. Because I feel like in our TVs and media, they always get the crazy folks saying some crazy stuff. And it's not as crazy as they make it out to be, but they always, you know, the crazier they are, the more attention they get, okay? And the point out is that reason Ephesians is a little controversial, a little kind of like an unsolved mystery. Because in the earliest manuscripts, the word Ephesus does not appear. So that's part of the mystery there. And then some biblical scholars will go the far as say, well, you know, when Paul, he didn't write this because there's no reference to the church in Ephesus. It must have been one of Paul's buddies because it sounds like something Paul would write. Now, I kind of think the reason it sounds like something Paul would write because Paul wrote it, okay? To me, that's common sense. But I think there is a good reason is that when you look at Ephesus, Ephesians, and Colossians, they're very similar. And so I think the theory that makes the most sense is Paul was in jail, prison, wrote a letter to Colossians, and someone read it and said, Paul, that's some good stuff. You should send that to some other churches. And so Paul sat down and wrote what we can now call Ephesians, and it made its way around Asia, and it ended up at Ephesus with the Ephesians. So that'd be kind of like if our district superintendent sent out like an email that went out to all the churches in our area, and then years later, we were the ones that had the hard copy of it. They said it was the Mars Hill letter. Now, he didn't really write down the Mars Hill specifically, but we read it because we were part of the crew that got it, okay? So if you ever hear that on the History Channel or one of these crazy channels, don't let that freak you out, okay? I think Paul wrote it, and I think he wrote it out to a bunch of different churches. And the reason it sounds like something Paul wrote, because I think Paul wrote it. So that's where I'm going to come from with this. Now, Paul starts off with saying, all praise to the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us. So I feel like that's a very important thing to realize, that God's greatest motivation is love. You know, remember back in Romans, that God demonstrated his love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that's the thing Paul hits on in a lot of his letters, that the great motivator behind God is his love. Why does Paul do this? God does something. He does it out of love for us. He loved and chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Okay? And some folks get a little called up about this God decided in advance. And there's some theologies out there that say that in the beginning, before time began, God said, you, and you will be Christians. And some folks even go a little further and say, you will be Christians, and you are not going to be Christians. Now, I have a hard time going along with that, because when I read the Bible, Paul says that it is God's will that everyone should come to salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Okay. So when it says, though, about advanced predestined, what it really means is that when we become a child of God, we are now predestined to be holy. That's the destination, okay? As we are right now, it's not the destination. The destination is we live the Christian life. We become more and more like Christ-like. He said, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family, okay? Now, think about adoption. Now, this one strikes a little home for me, because last week, we celebrated my nephew's first birthday. This is Josiah. Now, my nephew is adopted. Okay? Now, I'll ask you a question. Do you think Uncle Tim loves Josiah any less because he's adopted than he would if he had been born at the hospital by my sister? The answer is, well, no. I mean, that's my nephew, man. No, you after my nephew, you're going to be in trouble. You know. And so my nephew, he was born June 24th. And I remember that time last year, we were going to get ready. It was on Monday night, or I know it was Tuesday night. I was going to take Dad out to the Cracker Barrel for Father's Day, because we have a thing in our family where I don't like to go to the Cracker Barrel on Father's Day, Sunday. It's just too crazy. So we do it like a little bit afterwards. And my dad said, well, I got a call from Ellen Marie, and she's got a call from the adoption agency, and they have a baby for her. And I said, let's keep that underneath her hat, because we've been through this before back in April, and it fell apart at the very last minute. Since then, I've learned it actually happens a lot with adoptions. They get close, and then at the last minute, the birth mother decides not to go through it, which I understand. And then a few days later, my little phone started blowing up with pictures of this adorable little baby behind the pacifier. You know, and it was one of those deals where I couldn't say anything out loud, because there was like this two-week window of the mom's got to sign off, the dad, if he ever shows up, he has a two-week window to say something, you know. And so my sister and my brother-in-law, they had to make this last minute jump up, pack their bags, and go all the way from Cookeville to Virginia to the hospital. And you guys remember last year it was a mess traveling, because everything was shut down because of COVID. And so the hotels were all jacked up and everything, but the Lord provided, and they didn't get to see Josiah that day. We got to the next day, and, you know, there she is holding Josiah, and she says all smiles, you know. It was a special moment. Well, that's how God is with you. It says God decided in advance he wanted to adopt us in his own family. Okay? Why? Because it gave him great pleasure. Okay? Now, last week, we had the birthday party, and I posted some pictures on Facebook, and more than one person commented and said, I think Uncle Tim had more fun than the kids did, okay? Because I had great pleasure. And I came in, I had on this big old Tigger shirt I bought off Amazon, because that was the Tigger theme. And I'm like, where'd you get that shirt at? I said, well, I got my paycheck, I got off Amazon, because I wanted to go all out for this birthday party. Why? Because it brought me great pleasure. It brought me pleasure to see my little nephew and his buddies just crawling around, tearing up Jack and the church there in Cookeville. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us, who belonged to his dear son. And I saw out here that the sign changer, I don't know if that you heard or someone else, had out there a sign about God's grace, you know. And that's why we praise God, amazing grace. It's his grace he has poured out. Not kind of dish out, sprinkling out, but he just poured it on us. God's grace. First time, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son. And that's where the title of my sermon came from, about he purchased our freedom. Because, you know, I was kind of looking at the lectionary and the different scriptures they offered, and I thought, well, some of these are okay, but I thought they don't really fit the situation. And one of them was from Ezekiel, where Ezekiel said, they shall know a prophet hath risen up among them, but they shall not listen to you. And I thought, well, that's not really good scripture to use on the first day of a church, now is it? But I saw what was next week, and I thought, well, that is a good scripture, especially for a 4th of July. Now, 4th of July, we think about our military folks who went to war, and they bought our freedom with their blood. Well, here at church, we talk about how that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son, talking about Jesus Christ. And it's important to remember, when Jesus came and died, he just didn't die on any day of the week. He died during the Jewish holiday of Passover. And that's kind of like the Jewish 4th of July festival. And you may recall from the book of Exodus that the people were slaves. And then the Lord told Moses, tell your people to get a lamb, a pure lamb. They're going to kill the lamb, take the blood, build the doorpost. They're going to eat the lamb for supper that night and go to bed. And tomorrow morning when you wake up, you'll be free. You go to bed as slaves, but you'll wake up as a free nation. And that night the angel of death came to the land. And the angel passed over, that's where we get the name Passover. Why? Because he saw the blood of the Lamb. And that's what Jesus did for us. By his precious blood, he has freed us from the slavery of sin and of death through his atoning death and resurrection. He says he purchased our freedom with his blood of his son and forgave our sins. No, we just sang a song, walk and wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No. There's nothing you can go out and buy or sell or anything that can wash away your sins except the blood of Jesus. And then verse 8 says, he has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God is so good, not only does he give us kindness, he gives us wisdom and understanding. And it goes on to say, God now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. God has a plan for our lives. In this world, he's not out there just doing things haphazard. What's the plan? At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. And of course, when I see the phrase on heaven and earth, I think of the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The time is coming when Christ will return, in heaven and earth, thy will be done in both locations. Heaven's doing just fine. Down here on earth, we got some issues going on where we're not doing what we need to be doing. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose in advance and makes everything work out according to his plan. And of course, when you hear the phrase, when he makes everything work out according to his plan, I think about what Paul wrote elsewhere in Romans chapter 8. A verse that's given me a lot of comfort. It says, for we know that God causes all things to work together for the good for those who love him. And so when we go through life and craziness happens and death and sorrow, these aren't just random events that brings us harm. We know that God is behind the scenes, and he will cause all these things, both good and bad, to work together for the good for us who love him. Now, if you're a non-Christian, it doesn't work that well for you. But for those of us who love God and follow him, God is behind the scenes working that out according to his own good plan. And then he says, God's purpose that we Jews were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. Okay? And of course, this is a promise that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. You may recall the book of Genesis had a guy named Abram. According to tradition, his dad was an idol maker. But God called Abram out and said, Abram, I want you to follow me and walk around this land. I will bless those that bless you, curse those who curse you, and through you, all nations will be blessed. And Abram was like, all nations, blessed through me? How? Well, the answer is this. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 kids, the 12 tribes of Israel. Years later, he had Moses come through, give him the law and commandments. To leave Egypt, go to the promised land, Joshua and battle Jericho. Later on, you had King David in the Psalms, King Solomon in the Proverbs. The people split up the kingdom. Later on, they disobeyed God and get hauled off in captivity and you had the prophets. And then later on, when the Romans in charge, you have a Virgin Mary in Nazareth, to whom Jesus is born, the Savior of mankind, the Savior of all people. Now, it's that Jewish heritage that we have God's Ten Commandments, the Psalms, the Proverbs. Most importantly, we had the Jewish Messiah. Jesus comes through. And not just the Messiah for Jews, but also for Gentiles. And now you Gentiles, you have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. That's the good news. So we should not come in church and leave all depressed. We should come out of church feeling pretty good. Why? Because God has saved us through his blood, the blood of Jesus. And when you believe in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he has promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. And so here he talks about the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about God the Father, his love for us, sent God the Son, Jesus, who died on the cross, saved us by his blood. And now he talks about the Holy Spirit. Now we've got the Holy Trinity here. And you may recall in the book of Acts, when Paul first met the Ephesians, he actually had a little discussion about the Holy Spirit. He came through, Acts tells us, to the city of Ephesus, met some believers, and he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, the Holy what? What's that? Paul said, the Holy Spirit. You should have heard something about the Holy Spirit and got baptized. What kind of baptism did you get baptized with? And they said, well, we got baptized with the baptism of John the Baptist. Oh, well, you hadn't heard the rest of the story then. Okay? And so Paul shared the rest of the story with the Ephesians. They got saved, believed, they got baptized, and then he laid hands on them and prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I'm sure that was a shock to Paul when he first heard that. That'd be like me came here this morning and said, Herb, what about the Holy Spirit? And Herb's like, what's that? And I'm like, well, Herb, just Methodist Church. You know? That's what the little flames were. You know? The Ephesians didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. No one had told them. You know? But Paul shared with them who the Holy Spirit was. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. He said, the Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that he'll give us an inheritance we have promised. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, that's God's assurance, you know, that he is going to save us and sanctify us. You know, we don't have to go around wondering, like some folks do, am I saved? I don't know if I'm saved or not. Am I going to go to heaven? That'd be a terrible way to live your life. You know, we have a song, you know, called Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Well, how do we know this? Well, the Holy Spirit, when he lives inside us, tells us, you know, that's our guarantee, that's our assurance, that God is living within us, that he has promised us, that he has purchased us to be his own people. Again, the idea he has purchased us. God paid a dear price for us. Sometimes we get confused because it's free for us. It's kind of like when you're growing up, you go home, you got a house, food on the table, and it's free. But mom and dad will assure you that it is not free. There is a house mortgage that has to be paid every month. There is Food City or Piggly Wiggly, you got to go buy groceries. It's not free. It's free to you, but somebody had to pay a price for it. Our salvation, our grace, is free for us. But Jesus paid the price for it. Jesus paid it all. And why did he do this? He did this so we would praise and glorify him. And that's why we're here this morning, to thank God for his gifts, of his grace that he's given us. Okay? And so on this July 4th Sunday, I've encouraged all of us to remember that not only do we have these brave men and women who've taken on the uniform and purchased our freedom, some of them did not come back from war to do that, and we remember them. Some came back injured, and we need to honor them. Some carry emotional scars, and we honor them. But we have a freedom from sin, and that was purchased not by a soldier, by Jesus, by his clean death and resurrection that we celebrate at Easter time. And so today, let's celebrate two freedoms. The freedom as an American citizen that we come here and we worship in freedom, but also the freedom as a Christian, as a child of God, that we've been freed from sin. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right. And our next hymn is going to be hymn